You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. And about me being your host, that doesn't mean I'm looking for a parasite. No parasites allowed. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. And this message goes out to you, brothers and sisters of the tribes of Israel. May these messages encourage you to turn back to Yahweh, to turn back to your own people, to turn back to Yahweh's word and laws. You see, the Judeo-Christians believe that Yahweh's law has been put away. But if you love Yahweh, you'd obey his laws anyway, wouldn't you? Because you'd love him that much. And you'd know that his advice would be the best advice. And if he made a law, he wouldn't make it for nothing. He wouldn't make it for to torture you. He made it for our own good. So whether the law was negated or not, I would seek to follow Yahweh's laws, Yahweh's advice, Yahweh's wisdom, Yahweh's word, willingly. And that is my counsel to all of you, dear brothers and sisters. Remember this: every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Yahweh is God. They may think they won't. They may say they won't. But they will. Why? Because Yahweh says so. That's why. Now, before I go on, I'd like to mention, and I'm not a donation hound or anything like that, but people have asked me, and I decided to put up a donation link up on davidjamesboston.com. If you go to davidjamesboston.com, it's on the front page on the right. And if you should go to the Saxon's Creed radio show part of it, it's on those pages as well. I thank you for helping me. If you think that you'd like to help me in my efforts and you see what I'm doing and you like what I'm doing and you want to be a part of what I'm doing, I would appreciate it, and so would Yahweh. And that's all I really have to say. I leave that in your capable conscience. So, the title of this message is a continuation of last week, where I was reading a Hitler speech from Munich in 1922. And we learned so many things, and we're going to continue to move on with that right away. And so that's why this message is called a hit piece, part two. You know, I'm amazed at these speeches. It's just amazing. No wonder they didn't want you to hear it. If you had heard, I wonder what it would have happened if you, my brothers and sisters of Europe and Australia and America and all our countries, if you had heard what Hitler had to say about democracy, and I went over that last week, I wonder if it might have had a dramatic effect. I doubt it, because They're too busy watching football, but who knows? But, you know, this week on my news show, I had an article from King Zwelithini, who was the Zulu king starting back in around 1970 or 75, somewhere in that area. And he made several admissions and rebuked the black people for what they're doing to South Africa. He said the blacks are going to be on the wrong side of history. He admitted that when the whites were in control in Africa, that not only his life, but everyone's lives were a lot better off. He now knows what the ANC is, but he also mentioned that all of a sudden this so-called democracy came in. Even King Zwelithini knows about democracy. So this is encouraging. The average black is using it to destroy the white because that's what the Jew told him to do. But it doesn't have to be that way, but it is that way. But King Zwelithini, he sees things as, see, he's living it. He knows what it was when it was under white rule, and he knows now what it is now that it's under black rule. And he can see a dramatic, a huge difference. Remember, those farmers were feeding the continent. So you have Hitler way back here in 1922 revealing to you about democracy. King Zwelithini knows about it in the Zulu tribe. But does anybody else know about it in the world? Besides the Jewish leaders of all the nations, they know what they're doing with that. I don't know. It's a good question. See, I think one has to live through it. When Hitler was making this speech in 1922, he had lived through the First World War, and the Germans were really surprised that they lost because they shouldn't have lost. And so they began to investigate, and they found out that the Jew and that Freemasonry were two of the components that were destroying and helped to make sure that they lost. And so that's what caused him to understand. See, when you go through hard times, it helps you to grow. When you look at a plant, the plant receives sunlight during the daytime, but then it does most of its growing during the dark time, which is nighttime. It's a lesson. A lesson we should understand that, yes, we all go through some dark times, but through those dark times, the light shines even brighter. You see, Yahweh is the light, not to be confused with the light of Freemasonry, which is the false distorted light of Lucifer. Yahweh is the light, the supreme being, and we are but reflections of him and his word. You see, when you look upon the ocean, and I know you've all seen this, the sun is shining on the ocean, but as the waves go, there is darkness, and then the crests of the waves have light, and you can see many, many reflections in the sea. Well, in the scriptures, the sea is known as peoples or people. So Yahweh's bright light comes down, and those reflections are what we are. If you look at the sea, there's a lot of darkness in the sea. But there are those individual reflections every so now and then. What do those reflections do? See, I'm continuing something from last week. I told you my purpose is to clarify. This is also your purpose, ladies and gentlemen. When we shine our light, or when we shine a light in the darkness, we can see clearer. You see, today we see, but tomorrow we see clearer. And so if you are a reflection of Yahweh, you are shining light in the darkness. You are the light of this world. You are the salt of this world, he said, right? You have savor. The truth has savor. It's delicious. It's valuable. It's a teacher. So as I have been taught by Yahweh, I now teach you. As I have been taught by other reflections of Yahweh, I teach you. That's what I call myself, the teacher or the clarifier. I'm shining a light in the darkness to expose the darkness, to caution you, to call you, to help you, to help you to help others, as Yahweh teaches you, and as other reflections of his great light teach you, then you may be a reflection as well, and you teach others, and so on, and so on. No, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not always right. I make mistakes, but I'm willing to admit it, and I don't even really care that much about it. I mean, it's just a question of the only thing I care about is that I don't teach. I ask Yahweh to make sure that I never teach something that is wrong, that would be harmful to you. Because if I harm you, I will be harmed like no tomorrow. And I don't want to harm you. I'm not here to harm you. When I teach you these things, I'm teaching you because I believe these things implicitly. And I believe that they're correct. And I believe that I have studied enough and have seen enough that I know and am qualified to speak to you in these matters. We may not agree on a scripture or two. I don't really care. Eli and I see things somewhat differently at times. It doesn't make me feel anything. I don't even pay attention to that. I look at his view. I look at my view. He's probably right. I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe sometimes I'm right. It doesn't matter. It's just like, you know, it's when you're pondering these things and when you're putting a light on these things, that's why Yahweh put us here, because each individual reflection sees things just maybe a little different. You know, if I listen to a recording today and you listen to the same recording today, and then I did a teaching on it and you did a teaching on it, it would be very different. There would be times where you would, I'll tell you why, is because we pick up different things. And because as you're listening to something, sometimes your mind might wander off a little bit. And people's minds wander off on different things, you understand? So they might pick up something in that recording that I didn't pick up. And I would pick up things that they didn't pick up. That's the beauty of getting people who understand the truth together, because now they can go back and forth and say, well, what about this and what about this idea? It doesn't matter who's right always. What really matters is we're discussing. We're learning together. We learn from each other's experiences. We learn from each other's teachings. We learn from each other's downfalls. We learn from each other's just, that's the way it's designed. And this is why history is so important. This is why a speech like this is so important. Because if you ignore history, you become ignorant of what could teach you to help you from this happening again in the future. History is a lesson. History is a multitude of lessons. And it needs to be learned, because once you can see patterns in history, those patterns continue because nothing is new under the sun. So as these patterns continue, we see the same patterns in America today that we see in the Weimar Republic of Germany. Okay? So we know we're heading down the same road, and that the same criminals are at the seat of the same old game. And I think that that's probably all I should say on that. But think about it. We should learn the scriptures. Why do I not teach on the scriptures every single week? Because I know they're important. Of course they're important. And they can show us a lot about our enemies. But history is also important. And the warnings that have been given over all this time are now being, a light is being shown upon them or shined. And as we shine this light upon these warnings, we realize where we've gone wrong. We realize how much Yahweh loved us, how much the men of our own race loved us, that they gave their lives to warn us. And we did not heed. But what I suggest now is, I am a personal warning to you with all the shows that I do. And all the shows that you hear, Pastor Dan's show, Eli's shows, Andy's shows, Laura's shows, all of us out here. We're spending our time, we're giving of our lives to warn you. Will you heed these warnings? Or will you ignore them like all the other warnings throughout history? Let me tell you, we're not the great men that those people were. However, these are different days. You ignored these great men's warnings. But I suggest that as we shine a light upon these warnings and shine a light upon the scriptures, that you begin to take heed and prick up your ears real high and listen to these warnings and get them within your mind so that you can recognize these things on your own. There's a lot of people out there that want to pick and pick and pick and pick about everything, but you don't see them doing anything but picking. They don't have any good things to say about anything, but they can find something wrong in everything that's under the sun. I don't have time for those people. I mean, they're just trying to cause derision, division, and just cause general problems. It's not the same as what we're doing. We're taking our time to show you. And so I hope that these warnings will save your life and your loved ones' lives and the lives of all the tribes and will save our national, we'll have national salvation somehow through Yahweh, of course, because now is the time for men to be men, for women to be women, and for the soldiers of Yahweh to step up to the plate. Let's go on with this speech. Mr. Hitler here, he starts out right here in the speech. We know that the revolution which began in 1918 has covered perhaps but the first third of its course. Two things, however, there are which must scourge it forward upon its way: economic causes and political causes. On the economic side, the ever-growing distress, and in the political sphere, are not nearly all Germans in their heart. Let each one admit it, in despair when they consider the situation, which leaves us quite defenseless in the face of a Europe which is so hostile to Germany. This is about where I ended, and I'm just covering just this so we move on from here. And why is this Europe so hostile? We see how over there, in the other Europe, it is not the peoples which agitate against us. It is the secret power of the organized press which ceaselessly pours new poison into the hearts of these peoples. And who are, then, these bandits of the press? The brothers and the relatives of the publishers of our own newspapers, and the capital source which provides the energy which, here and there, drives them forward in the Jewish dream of world supremacy. So I had said last week, you see, it's the Jewish dream of world supremacy. It wasn't Hitler's dream. If it was, he would have told you here. The Jew claimed that they were baby killers, but the Jew is a baby killer. Netanyahu's a baby killer. Netanyahu! Yeah. They said that the Germans would throw babies in the air and catch them on the bayonets of their rifles. I would think that that's more what the Jews did over in Russia. So Hitler would have told you, Mr. Hitler would have said, it is National Socialism's dream to have world supremacy. We want to control all the world. They never said that any time. I've never seen it yet. So until I see it, I don't believe it. Of course I don't believe it anyway, because that's not what they were trying to achieve. Today, the idea of international solidarity has lost its force. One can still bring men out of the factories by only means of terrorism. If you ask for an honest answer, the worker will confess that he no longer believes in this international solidarity. And the belief in the so-called reasonableness of the other peoples has gone too. How often have we been told that reason will lead them not to be too hard with us? True, reason should have moved them thus. But what did move them had nothing to do with reason. For here there is no question of the thought of reasonable peoples. It is the thought of a wild beast, tearing, raging in its unreason, that drives all of them to the same ruin and that to which we ourselves are driven. So the masses of the people in Germany are becoming, in the political sphere, completely lost. Yet here and there, people are beginning to get some practice in criticism. Slowly, cautiously, and yet with a certain accuracy, the finger is being placed on the real wound of our people. And thus one comes to realize, if only this development goes on for a time, it might be possible that from Germany the light should come which is destined to light both Germany and the world to their salvation. National salvation, see? And at that point, the everlasting lie begins to work against us with every means in its power. It is said, if one criticizes the state of affairs to which we have been brought today, that one is a reactionary, a monarchist, a pan-German. I ask you what would probably have been the state of Germany today if during these 3 years there had been no criticism at all. I believe that, in fact, there has been far too little criticism. See, he didn't mind people criticizing the government. It's a healthy thing to deal with. If the criticism is legit, that is. Our people, unfortunately, is much too uncritical, or otherwise it would long ago have not only seen through many things, but would have swept them away with its fist. The crisis is developing towards its culmination. The day is not far distant when, for the reasons which I have stated, the German Revolution must be carried forward another step. The leaders know all too well that things cannot always go as they are going today. One may raise prices 10 times by 100%, but it is doubtful if in the end, even a German will accept a milliard of marks for his day's wage. If in the last resort with his milliard wage, he must still starve. It is a question one will be able to keep up with this great fraud upon the nation. Will they be able to? There will come a day when this must stop, and therefore one must build for that day before it comes. Very interesting. And so now Germany is reaching that stage which Russia has drunk to the lees. I don't know what he means by that. Drunk to the lees. L-E-E-S. Now, in one last stupendous assault, they will finally crush all criticism, all opposition. No, rather whatever honesty is still left to us, and that they will do the more rapidly, the more clearly they see, and that the masses are beginning to understand one thing, National Socialist teaching. Whether for the moment it comes to them under the name, one name or another, the fact is that everywhere more and more is making headway. Today all these folk cannot yet belong to a single party. But wherever you go in Germany, yet almost in the whole world, you find already millions of thinking men who know that a state can be built only on a social foundation. And they know also that of the deadly foe, every social conception in the international Jew. The foe of every social conception is the international Jew. Every truly national idea is in the last resort social, i.e., He who is prepared so completely to adopt the cause of his people that he really knows no higher ideal than the prosperity of this, his own people, he who has taken to heart the meaning of our great song, Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, that nothing in this world stands for him higher than this Germany, except for Yahweh, Mr. Hitler, and that's where you might have gone wrong. Might? People and land, land and people, he is a socialist. And he who in this people sympathizes with the poorest of its citizens, who in this people sees in every individual a valuable member of the whole community, and who recognizes that this community can flourish only when it is formed, not of rulers and oppressed, but when all according to their capacities fulfill their duty to the fatherland and the community of the people and are valued accordingly. He who seeks to preserve the native vigor, the strength, and the youthful energy of millions of working men, and who above all is concerned that our precious possession, our youth, should not before its time be used up in unhealthy, harmful work. He is not merely a socialist, but he is also national in the highest sense of the word. You know, notice that I do notice from what he's saying here, it is very important for us to be, you know, in service to our nation. That we should love our nation, that we should care for our nation, every individual giving what they can. See, if you do not work, you do not eat. This contributes to the health of the nation, where the Jew is continually, speaking of internationalism, the UN, and all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the nation. The Jew is not national. The only nation the Jew cares about is the little dump they have over there that used to be our nation. We're too big for that now. And they still don't even own it, and I'm going to keep mentioning that. They're only occupying it. They still don't own it outright. And I hope Yahweh never lets them either, by the way. So, as the Jew parasite preys on the nation, destroys all the national pride and all kinds of things like that, it is the very opposite of what the Aryan knows and loves. The reason why our nations were so strong is because we loved our nations. We loved our flag. Our flag represented us. We were behind our military, but now we know different. We know now that at this point there is nothing, because of the Jew parasite, there is nothing to be proud of about America in my view. I'm sorry I have to say that. I really don't want to say that, but I'm not proud of my flag. I'm not proud of my nation. But I am proud of Yahweh. And I am proud of the individuals in our nation that do care. I am proud of the truth tellers. I am proud of those who resist this horrible parasite. I am proud of many aspects of our nation. However, when I look at the flag, it's dirty. Because it's been dirtied up by the Jew. It's been dirtied up by Congress. It's been dirtied up by immigrants. It's been dirtied up by all kinds of things. By our military. I'm ashamed of our military. I am not proud of the military men. They are not heroes. They're traitors. Not all of them. I know that there are faithful men out there, and a lot of them have been let go, so don't go too crazy on that one, will you? But I am not proud of our military as a whole. I'm ashamed of them. You know what would make me proud of my military? Is if they came to realize who was doing this and they turned on them and rendered them. You know, the Bible tells us not to cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you. Well, the swine are running our nation and have been for a very long time now. And it's time for the military men to turn and rend them. Not so that the military can take over the country. That's not the purpose. But so that they can get it back to where we can have pride in our nation again. When we can live with our own people. When we can say America is great. When we can say, I'm behind this America. When we can say America is Yahweh's country. Military man, don't keep praying to that Jewish Jesus you pray to. That's not Yahweh. That's not God. That's not even Jesus, who was Yahweh in the flesh, Yeshua. I don't know who you're praying to, but it's not him. It's the Jewish version of him. So he goes on, Mr. Hitler goes on, it is the teaching of these facts which appear to the Jews as leaders of the revolution today to constitute a threatening danger. And it is precisely this which more than anything else makes the Jew wish to get in his blow as soon as possible. For one thing he knows quite well, in the last resort, there is only one danger which he has to fear, and that danger is this young movement. You see why they don't want us to get together? They fear the true Israelites getting together because they know if the Israelites get together that they are in a lot of trouble. See, they fear that. Listen to what he's saying here now. For one thing he knows quite well, the Jew that is, in the last resort there is only one danger which he has to fear, and that danger is this young movement. What he means by this, the movement of National Socialism, was these were the white men getting together. These were the Anglo-Saxon tribe of Judah getting together and getting stronger and stronger and stronger until the parasite was to be thrown out of the country. And this is what he fears today and does not want to let Whitey do anything. However, his fear is just as viable today as it was back then. So Mr. Hitler continues, he knows the old parties, that they are easily satisfied. One only endow them with a few seats as ministers or with similar posts, and they are ready to go along with you. And in special, he knows one thing. They are so innocently stupid in their case of the truth of the old saying is proved afresh every day. And that saying is, those whom the gods wish to destroy, they first strike with blindness. Oh, I don't like the word gods, but I understand what he's saying here. Want to hear it again? Those whom the gods wish to destroy, they first strike with blindness. They have been struck with blindness. Therefore, it follows that the gods wish to destroy them. Only look at these parties and their leaders, Stressman and the rest of them. They are indeed not dangerous. They never go to the roots of the evil. They all still think that with forbearance, with humanity, with accommodation, they can fight a battle which has not its equal in this world. Through gentleness, they think that they must demonstrate to the enemy of the left that they are ready for appeasement, so as to say the deadly cancerous ulcer, so as to stay the deadly cancerous ulcer through a policy of moderation. That typifies the Judeo-Christian. If somebody was to rape their child, they'd say, oh, I love when Pastor Dan, he goes, oh, I forgive. I love when he goes into that, you know, I forgive him. I can't believe that he raped my daughter, but I'm going to forgive him and go on with my life and be an example. Yeah, well, that's the kind of people these people are. They think that they don't have to do anything or be part of anything, and just eventually these Jews will go away. Just eventually these cancerous ulcers will go away from our nation. You know, as it has developed, it's just going to eventually go away. Yeah. Well, I suggest you hold your breath and see how long, see who goes away first. So Hitler says, no, 1,000 times no. Here there are only two possibilities, either victory or defeat. What today is the meaning of these great preparations for the decisive battle on the part of Bolshevist Judaism? To make the nations defenseless in arms and to make people defenseless in spirit. Two great aims. See, they not only wanted to take the weapons away from the American people and still are working on that vivaciously, but they wanted all nations to disarm themselves, while Israel would be not disarming themselves at all because they'd love to just push the button and kill us all, including themselves. They know that they're doomed anyway. You see, they know that at death time, there is no hope for them, so they'll just get in as many blows as they can while they're here. They'll just get as many shekels as they can while they're here. Like the old saying goes, you only live once. Is that not a lie? It is true of a Jew. It is true of a Shabbos Goy. But it is not true for somebody who obeys Yahweh. I wonder if the Sadducees thought that one up. You only live once. Can you hear the devil in that? You only live once, so, you know, get as many toys as you can. Take as much pleasure as you can. Drink as much wine as you can. Etc. So he goes on. So what are the two great aims? To make the nation defenseless in arms and to make the people defenseless in spirit. Abroad Germany is already humiliated. The state trembles before every French Negro captain. The nation is no longer dangerous. And within Germany, they have seen to it that arms should be taken away from the decent elements of the people. Does that sound familiar? And that in their stead, Russian Jewish Bolshevist bands should be armed. Does that sound familiar? Now, just put in Jewish Muslim bands should be armed. But all of you people in Europe, the decent elements of the people who are the law-abiding people, you should have those arms taken away from you. This is nothing new. This is 1922. That rhymes. How about it? Only one thing remains still to do, viz., the muzzling of the spirit. Above all the arrest of the evil agitators, that is the same name they give to those who dare to tell the people the truth. Not only are their organizations to be known to all, but the masses are to be incited against their persons. Against the truth-tellers, you see? See, they'll put, the Jews are always using names and words as weapons. So if you are a truth-teller, you are a terrorist. If you are a truth-teller, you are an agitator. If you are a truth-teller, you're a troublemaker. If you're a truth-teller, can you think of all the different things? I mean, that's just some of them, right? If you're a truth teller, you're a conspiracy theorist nut. Are you connecting the dots? You know, I can picture. I had a saying that I said one time, as you connect the dots, the spider web appears. See, there are so many dots to be connected. There's so much evidence out there, not only in history, not only in the Bible, not only in the experiences of your own lives, not only in the experiences of nations. There's so many dots to connect that we will probably not even connect every one of them. There's probably as many dots to connect as there are stars in the sky. And those dots are, as you see in the sky, you'll see some stars are brighter than others. So those dots are easily connected. And then there are other ones that are a little dim compared to those. But these dots are being connected. And I hope in your mind, you can see the spider web appear. So they give names to people that tell the truth. Not only are their organizations to be known to all, I just read this, but the masses are to be incited against their persons, against the truth tellers. Just as the Jew could once incite the mob of Jerusalem against Christ, so today, he must succeed in inciting folk who have been duped into madness to attack those who, God's truth, seek to deal with this people in utter honesty and sincerity. And so he begins to intimidate them, and he knows that this pressure in itself is enough to shut the mouths of hundreds, yes, of thousands. For they think, if only I hold my tongue, then I shall be safe in case they come into power. No, my friend. The only difference will be that I may hang, perhaps still talking, while you will hang in silence. Here, too, Russia can give us countless examples, and with us it will be the same story. This goes for you American people right now, us American people. We shall not hold our tongues, because I'd rather be hung talking and telling the truth than be hung in silence and have to answer to Yahweh why I kept silent. Silence can be your friend, but silence can also be your enemy, ladies and gentlemen. This is no time to keep silent. This goes for everybody in the world. And I mean the Anglo-Saxon world. I'm not interested in the other parts of the world. I'm interested in the true Israelites, my brothers and sisters. This is not time to be silent. If you die because you talked, if you die because you revealed the truth, if you die, you shall have a crown of glory, according to Yahweh, because you will be an overcomer. Now, this has to do with whether you're obeying Yahweh or not, and whether you're a true Israelite or not, and whether you're obeying his words and you're one of his children. I mean, literal offspring. Only the Adamic race is the literal offspring of Yahweh. Make no mistake about that. So Mr. Hitler goes on here. We know that the so-called law for the protection of the Republic, which comes from Berlin today, is nothing else than a means for reducing all criticism to silence. Are they not trying to do that in America? Did you know now that they have shut down on all these liberal sites and everything? They've had to shut down the comments sections of their sites. Why is that? Because the comments, finally you people are stepping up. Finally there are people who are no longer going to be silent. Finally the public opinion is being heard, and they don't like what they're hearing. And so therefore by shutting that down, they're shutting down the truth. They're shutting down the public opinion. Now, not all of these comments are worthy of being allowed to sit up anyway, because there's just nuts out there that have no lives, that are just looking for attention. They're so desperate. I mean, so desperate. I don't know what it is, but they're just living for this stuff. And if they spent that time in better ways, it would be much more useful. The way they're doing that, a lot of these things, it's very unuseful. However, the people that were doing this to these liberal sites and so on were doing a good work, because they had to shut it down. Because, you see, once those comment sections go up and people read that, other people begin to agree with it, and they can't have that happen. So in Germany, the same thing is happening here. What he's saying, that they were going to reduce all criticism to silence. We know, too, that no effort will be spared so that the last outstanding personalities, those within Germany, foresee the coming of disaster, shall in good time disappear. And to that end, the population of North Germany will be scourged into opposition to Bavaria, with every lie and every misinterpretation that comes to hand. Up there, they have the feeling that in one corner of the Reich, the spirit of the German people is not yet broken. And that is the point to which we National Socialists have to grapple ourselves. We National Socialists are God's truth. Perhaps the most loyal, the most devoted of all men to our German fatherland. For 3 years we have waged a war, often against death and devil, but always only for our German fatherland. We got so far that at the last, as a crown of all our labors, we had to land in prison. But in spite of everything, there is one thing we would say. We do make a distinction between a government and a German fatherland. Prick your ears up. We do make a distinction between a government and the German fatherland. America. The UK. There is a difference between your false governments, your treasonous governments, and your fatherlands. When today, here in the Landtag or in the Reichstag at Berlin, some lousy half-Asiatic youth casts in our teeth the charge that we have no loyalty to the Reich, I beg you, do not distress yourselves. The Bavarian people has sealed its loyalty to the Reich with its countless regiments, which fought for the Reich and often sank under the earth two or three times. We are convinced, and that in the last resort is our one great faith, that out of this bitterest distress and this utter misery, the German Reich will rise again, but not as now, not as the offspring of wretchedness and misery. We shall possess once again a true German Reich of freedom and of honor, a real fatherland of the whole German people, and not an asylum for alien swindlers. There is today constant talk about federalism. Ooh, a Jewish word. I beg you not to abuse the Prussians while at the same time you grovel before the Jews, but show yourself stiff-necked against the folk of Berlin. See, what is it with us? We're a stiff-necked people, correct? But how come you're not stiff-necked against the Jew? That's what he's saying here. Why are you not stiff-necked against football? You see what it's become. You know, there was a great thing that took place over the summer. I'm trying to think of, I think it was Baltimore, which has a 99% fan base of white people. Nobody showed up for the game. That was a day in baseball history. And I'd like to see that every game. I'd like to see you just end baseball in America. I mean, I like baseball. I understand what you're saying. I liked the sports when they were white, but they're no longer white. And your best way to protest against what's going on is just say, look, this is now a Jew-run sport. They've written us out of the picture for the most part. So what do we have to do with it? Nothing. So give no more of your money to it. You don't need to pay $7 for a hot dog or whatever, $5 for a hot dog, $7 for a beer. So you can watch a mongrel baseball team. Just let it end. Let your religion of football end. Your people aren't even hardly involved in it anymore. Why pay all that money to go to games? That money could be put to better use, could it not? Just a thought. It was a great encouragement when I saw that nobody showed up to that game. That showed solidarity. And that's what the white race needs to do. That's what Anglo-Saxon, Caucasian Israelites need to do. And need to do it more and more and more and more and more. Okay, so he goes on. There is today constant talk about federalism, as I said. I beg you not to abuse the Prussians. while at the same time you grovel before the Jews. But show yourselves stiff-necked against the folk of Berlin. And if you do that, then you will have on your side in the whole of Germany millions and millions of Germans, whether they be Prussians or men of Baden, Württembergers, men of Saxony. Hello, do you hear that? Men of Saxony? Or Germans of Austria. Now is the hour to stand stiff-necked and resist to the last. We National Socialists, who for 3 years have done nothing but preach, abused and insulted by all, by some mocked and scorned, by others traduced and slandered, we cannot retreat. For us there is only one path which leads straight ahead. We know that the fight, which is now blazing, will be a hard struggle. It will not be fought out in the court of the Reich at Leipzig. It will not be fought out in the cabinet at Berlin. It will be fought out throughout those factors which in their hard reality have ever up to the present time made world history. I heard recently in the speech of a minister that the rights of a state cannot be set aside. Okay, that the rights of a state cannot be set aside through simple majority decisions, but only through treaties. Bismarck once used different language on this subject. He thought that the destinies of our peoples could be determined neither through majority decisions nor through treaties, but only through blood and iron. On one point, there should be no doubt. We will not let the Jews slit our gullets and not defend ourselves. Today in Berlin, they may already be arranging their festival dinners with the Jewish hangmen of Soviet Russia, that they will never do here. They may today begin to set up the Cheka, the extraordinary commission in Germany. They may give it free scope. We surrender to such Jewish commission? Never. We have the conviction, firm as a rock, that if in this state 7 million men are determined to stand by their no to the very last, the evil specter will collapse into nothingness in the rest of the Reich. For what Germany needs today, what Germany longs for ardently, is a symbol of power and strength. So as I come to the end of my speech, I want to ask something of those among you who are young, and for that there is a very special reason. The old parties train their youth in the gift of gab. We prefer to train them in the use of their bodily strength. For I tell you, the young man who does not find his way to the place where he, in the last resort, the destiny of his people is most truly represented, only studies philosophy, and in a time like this, buries himself behind his books or sits at home by the fire. He is no German youth. I call upon you, join our storm divisions. And however many insults and slanders you may hear, if you do join, you all know that the storm divisions have been formed for our protection, for your protection, and at the same time, not merely for the protection of the movement, but for the protection of a Germany that is to be. If you are reviled and insulted, good luck to you, my boys. You have the good fortune already at 18 or 19 years of age to be hated by the greatest of scoundrels. What others can win only after a lifetime of toil. This highest gift of distinguishing between the honest man and the brigand falls as a piece of luck into your lap while you are but youths. You can be assured that the more they revile you, the more we respect you. We know that if you were not there, none of us would make another speech. We know, we see clearly that our movement would be cudgeled down if you did not protect it. You are the defense of a movement that is called one day to remodel Germany in revolutionary fashion from its very foundations in order that there may come birth to what perhaps so many expected of the 9th of November, a German Reich and a Germanic and, so far as in us lies, a German Republic. Every battle must be fought to the end. Better that it come early than late. And he ever stands most securely who from the first goes to the fight with the greatest confidence. And this highest confidence we can carry with us in our hearts. For he who is on our side is today the leader of the German people, God's truth. He has nothing to win, but perhaps only everything to lose. He who today fights on our side cannot win great laurels, far less can he win great material goods. It is more likely that he will end up in jail. He who today is a leader must be an idealist, if only for the reason that he leads those against whom it would seem that everything has conspired. But in that very fact there lies an inexhaustible source of strength, the conviction that our movement is not sustained by money or the lust for gold, but only by our love for the people that must ever give us fresh heart, that must ever fill us with courage for the fray. And as my last word, take with you this assurance. If this battle should not come, never would Germany win peace. Germany would decay and at the best would sink to ruin like a rotting corpse. But that is not our destiny. We do not believe that this misfortune, which today our God sends over to Germany, has no meaning. It is surely the scourge which should and shall drive us to new greatness, to a new power and glory, to a Germany which for the first time shall fulfill that which in their hearts millions of the best of our fellow countrymen have hoped for through the centuries and the millennia, to the Germany of the German people. And you could say to the American, for the American people. And you could say to France, for the French people. And you could say to Spain, for the Spanish people. And you could say to Finland, for the Finnish people. And you could say to Sweden, for the Swedish people. And you could say to Iceland, for the Icelandic people, etc., etc., etc. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am inspired. We must take action. We must pick up the pieces. We must begin to communicate with one another again. We must begin to clarify. Like I was saying before, my purpose is to clarify. As you see me cleaning up the recordings, I try to clarify them so that you can hear what is actually being said, so that you can decipher the message, so that the message can actually get through to you. As all of us do here at EFR, we all give messages that Yahweh has given us to reach beyond the veil of your mind, to tear down the programming, and to rebuild on true foundations of truth. You have had no education whatsoever from the Jew school system that are in all of, I don't know about Europe, but I know that Americans have spent more money on education than the whole world combined, and we're some of the most dumbed down people on the planet. By design, you could not say that of our founding fathers. They were aware of history in the same way as Mr. Hitler is aware of history. When they came to this country, the United States, they had had the experience of dealing with this same enemy, the Jew. They had seen what the Jew had done to their nations and the nations around them. They viewed history and could see that there were patterns. As one investigates a crime, one notices that there are patterns. The criminals have patterns because nothing is new. And if something works, the pattern will be repeated over and over and over. And if you do not understand the patterns, though, you will be subject to them and you will be fooled over and over and over by them. So, once one studies the enemy, and studies his workings, studies his thinking, studies his victories, studies his weaknesses, one can understand how the enemy will operate and will be able to predict what will come next. Therefore, perhaps you're able to curtail it. But if you continue on and you think, well, geez, I don't need any education. I'm not interested in history, but I am interested in football and how many, and baseball and how many pitches this pitcher has thrown, and what kind of pitches he throws and how many hits this particular ball player might have. This is useless information. It may be good to go down to a club and play a trivia game, and you might win a pizza or something. I don't really know what they win, whatever. But otherwise, that and $3 will get you a cup of coffee. And speaking of this cup of coffee, I think that I shall have a sip. Education is everything. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. Will you listen to Yahweh when he says such things? What knowledge should you gain? Well, I told you, history. If you try to understand the world around you and you do not have the biblical and historical perspective, you will not understand the world. You will not understand what's coming to the world. This is one of the reasons why the Jews have gone around burning libraries. They go to libraries and find books that are important for us to have, and they never return them. They cover their tracks the best they can because they don't want you to learn from those tracks. They don't want you to have an education so that you would know what history is. They didn't want you to have an education so that you would take Hebrew and Greek so that you could understand the scriptures better. They more wanted to teach you about Roosevelt and his New Deal. Frankly, it's just up to you. I've already made this suggestion, and let me make it one more time. Cancel your cable bill. Hook up your computer to your televisions, and you will have an instant education station. I suggest you learn to love to read. I'll tell you my experience in reading myself. Never read that many books in my life. Andrew, on the other hand, he has read many, 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 many books in his life, and I would think that's the same of Eli. Now, I've read a lot more of recent times, but I mean throughout my life, I haven't read that many books, probably compared to these fellows. But as I got rid of the cable bill, I saved myself money, of course. But as I began to read, you know, my eyes might water, or you know, you get a little tired of reading and stuff like that, and it's a little hard in the beginning. But I will tell you that as time goes on, those things don't happen anymore, or very rarely, you know what I mean? You begin to get used to reading. See, reading just, it's funny that, you know, you would think, oh, why wouldn't I just be, maybe you will just instantly read. I don't know. My experience with it is it was a little hard in the beginning. But you know what? It didn't take that much. No. Eli says he likes the magnifying glass. Oh, he's talking about something else, but it actually goes with what I'm saying. So as you read, you'll actually enjoy reading. You'll find out that you can get more information out of reading one book than you can out of listening to 100 Tex Mars teachings. I used to listen to Tex Mars. I like his teachings. But it took me a while to realize something that, and I don't want to say anything real bad, but I guarantee this is what it is. He's what's known as a spoon feeder. He could take 20 years of one-hour-long lessons to teach what you could read in a book and read in three or four books. He's an expert spoon feeder. And that's just an example, because that's what I realized about the man. I'm not saying anything really bad about him or anything. He's done a lot of help to wake people up. But of course, there's a price always behind it. And David Icke is another one of these. All you have to realize about David Icke, it only took me one teaching of his to realize about him. And then as I scoped out a little more, I realized that I was right about it. This guy wants to charge you $40 for a DVD or $45 for one and a half hour DVD. He wants to charge you to teach you the truth. You know, when I ask for a donation, I'm not making you donate to hear my program. You know what I mean? But David Icke, he's going to make sure that if you want his program, it's going to be $45 for a DVD. That ought to speak volumes to you. Now, don't wait for tomorrow what you can do today, because tomorrow may never come for you. You just never know. Don't keep putting things off. Don't say, well, I'm going to get to that eventually. Oh, I'm going to do this. The world is full of all these great intentions. I hear many people tell me, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to aspire to great heights. And 6 months goes by. We don't know how much time is left. If you want to do great things, do great things. Begin today. Turn your television into an education station. The more of you that learn how to criticize the Jew and learn how to know who the enemy is, who your enemy is, and who Yahweh's enemy is, and how to decipher the Bible and understand it the way it truly has been meant for us all along, the more we grow in numbers, the stronger we become. And the more the Holy Spirit can work in this world. Forget about what people think. If somebody's going to think, oh, this guy's a racist, forget about that. Who cares about any of that? I don't care if somebody calls me a racist. I couldn't care less. It wouldn't even affect, I wouldn't even think about it. You know, forget about it. I don't care. Yeah, and so what now? What do you got to say now? I know who I am in Yahweh. I know what Yahweh is requiring of me. I'm confident in who I am. Words are no longer going to be able to be used as a weapon against you once you get a hold of how they're being used as a weapon against you. You cannot sincerely make me believe that you're so afraid of being called a racist that you wouldn't stand up for the people of your own race. You're afraid of being called a name? You know how many tough guys I know, but they're afraid of being called a name? Come on, really, seriously, let's get a grip on it here, huh? So begin your education today. I guarantee 6 months from now, if you start right now, you will be amazed at what you will know in 6 months. See, because nobody's going to do it for you. You understand that? You're going to have to be responsible for your own education. You can see that you got nothing from the education that you were given already. But this education you'll give yourself will be a totally different animal. The results will be dramatic. The clarity in which you see things will become incredible. And as like I said, I guess I coined that term a while ago, today we see, but tomorrow we see more clearly. That's only true if you are pursuing the truth. So pursue it, ladies and gentlemen, tribes of Israel. Pursue the truth. Pursue your education. It will be valuable. You may not get paid for it, but you may end up storing up treasure in heaven, which is much more valuable than anything you'll see here. We finished his speech. I hope you got something from it. I hope it cleared up many things in your lives, cleared up many questions you may have had. I think you see that Hitler was not the evil man that somebody told you he was. Therefore, you should realize now that somebody has lied to you. Somebody has kept this from you. Why? Answer the question. I answered it already for you, but you should be able to answer the question now as to who did it to you and why they did not want you to know. This is your media, ladies and gentlemen, and you've been trusting it implicitly, and you've been fooled. You've been duped. You've been used. All it is infotainment. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved. Hi, this is David James with the Eurofolk Radio Network here at eurofolkradio.com. Be sure to check out our new show, Founding Fathers, Wednesdays, 5:30 to 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time or 10:30 to 12 a.m. UK GMT.